Thank you very much, Mark, for your devotions, and thank you, Scott and Wanda, and your family for sharing those songs. I'm just very thankful to be here today. Yeah, it'd be so nice to have the church house full again with all of us, but today we worship this way because of the circumstances we're in as a nation. So I just want to thank each of you for staying faithful. I want to thank each of you for your families. I want to thank each of you for many things that we sometimes take for granted until a time like this, then the real colors come out and we see great value in each other. There are times when Elsie and I are discussing things. Sometimes we'd say, Elsie says, that would make a good message. And so one of those phrases was, I don't know how long ago, someone read the scripture, I think it was, in regard to Moses. And we know the story well of Moses being raised in Pharaoh's house. And then when Moses was 40 years old, he went out and he ultimately ended up killing an Egyptian, which then caused him to go to quite a distance away, and he was a shepherd. And those 40 years that he was a shepherd, God did a lot of working in Moses' life. It was like detoxing. It was like being out away from Pharaoh's household. It was like just totally different. And then when Moses was 80 years old, then that was the time that I can't imagine. We are just starting the 70s, and in 10 years from now is when we actually start our journey. I mean, when we're 80. And Moses started his journey in regard to God using him to lead the Israelites, the Hebrews, out of the land of Egypt to a land that God had promised, flowing with milk and honey. And so the story begins by God coming to Moses and saying, Moses, now I have heard the cry of Israel. I have heard the cry. The taskmasters are being ruthless. And they're totally wore out. They've been beaten because they didn't get enough product out that day. And God, in that environment, comes and says, Moses, I'm choosing you to take these people and lead them out of Egypt on a 40-day plan. And in 40 days, they're going to be over in the promised land. And we know how the story went. Moses made five, and it's interesting, when you go back in that account and you look at the excuses that Moses made, God, this is the wrong person. God, I can't speak. And God, I don't even know what to tell him. There's five of those excuses that Moses made to God before he finally was out of excuses and he consented. But that consent then came with Aaron, his brother, being the spokesman and Moses being the leader. But it's interesting how Moses made these excuses. And the third excuse was, God, how am I going to prove to them that you have actually spoken to me and I'm supposed to come to them and lead them out? That was the question that Moses asked God. And then God said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And that's the title of my message, is what do you have in your hand? God said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And he looked at his hand, and if you remember, God had given precise instructions to Moses in regard to that rod. He said, you keep that rod with you all the time. And so he took this rod. He says, well, here's my rod. And then God says, throw it down. So he threw it down, and immediately, remember, this rod became a snake. And Moses left the scene there. He recognized it as a snake. And so God says, Go and pick it up by the tail. And so Moses walks over toward that snake and picks it up by the tail, and it turned into a rod again. And then God says, Moses, take your hand and put it in your bosom. And Moses took his hand and put it in his bosom, pulled his hand out, and his hand was white with leprosy. And then God says, put your hand back in your bosom. And Moses put his hand back into his bosom and pulled his hand out, and his hand was totally restored just like it was prior. So those were two miracles that God did with Moses to prove that Moses has nothing to fear when it comes to God being on his side and Moses going to Pharaoh and all of that. And it's so interesting when you read the story, you forget some of the details, how that God told Moses up front that when you go to Pharaoh, he's not going to listen to you. But he said, I already have a plan because I'm going to show Pharaoh my wonders. And we all know what he did, those 10 plagues. I mean, it was darkness, it was lice, it was flies, it was frogs, it was hail, it was on. And each of these plagues, what's interesting as well is that each of these plagues represented one of the Egyptian gods that they worshipped. And so here we have God asking Moses, what do you have in your hand? And I want to ask you that question. What do you have in your hand today that God can use for his glory? Moms, what do you have in your hand today that God can use for his glory in regard to your families? Dads, what do you have in your hands today that God can use for his glory? For his glory. What do we have in our hands? And I'm just going to go down through. I just have a few verses. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10, this is what it says. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Those are some wonderful verses that describe the very deep attributes of God. God's very nature. God's very being. And these verses simply say that God has in his hand the ability. In fact, you can read scriptures that it actually makes a statement in regard to God's hand in regard to the creation. I don't know if when the creation was, maybe Christ, Jesus, I look at him as the creator, the Son, he held out his hand and simply said, earth, come forth, and the earth came forth. He held out his hand and he said, trees, come forth. Held out his hand and he said, look toward the heavens, and he said, sun, moon, and stars, come forth. I don't know how it all was, but it seems to indicate that the hand was involved in the creation. And here it says, in thine hand is power and might. And this verse already, as I alluded earlier, talks about God's sovereignty. So God, in fact, I'm just thinking of another verse that talks about, when I think about the sovereignty, it's like the kings of the earth are in the hand of the Almighty. So, you know what? It would be very easy for God just simply to stop the heart of any one of the world rulers. He could do that. In his hand is power and might. He could do that. He's sovereign. So when I think about blessing others, we need to remember that we can only bless others from what we have in our hand. We can't bless other people with something that we don't possess ourselves. If Moses didn't have a rod in his hand, then God would not have asked him to throw it down and do a miracle there. But because Moses had a rod in his hand, God used what Moses had in his hand, and that's how he glorified himself. And that's what God wants to do today. And that's really the gist of my message. Is the gist of my message is God wants us to take what's in our hand and glorify him with whatever that may be. And you know what's interesting is it varies from family to family, from person to person. It makes that everything is complete. And I just am going to go down through here and read a few verses that are interesting verses in regard to this thought. One of them is in Joshua chapter 9, verse 25, this is what it says. This is what the people said. And now, behold, we are in thine hand. As it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. So the people recognize that they are totally in subjection, under the control, under the authority, and that's what means when we talk about the hand, is the people said, Joshua, we are willing to be under you. We're willing to be under your authority, under your instruction. And whatever you want from us, we're willing to do that. Now, when you think about people being in your hand, what does that mean to you? When you think about people, like they said, we are in thine hand. In other words, the people said, we are under you. When you have something in your hand, you are in control of whatever that is. If you take a very expensive piece of pottery or glass or something, have you ever watched how you pick that up? You know, we've been to flea markets, and there's little signs on these tables that says, if you break it, you buy it. Because people take these delicate things and pick them up and look at them. And what happens if they drop it? And so we are very careful with our hand, how we pick up something of great value. And we observe it. We look at it inside and out. And we look at this thing. But you know what? Our hand also has the ability to simply take that out and open it up and drop it and break it to 100 pieces. Our hand has that ability. And that's what this verse is alluding to. This verse is saying, Joshua, you have us in your hand. And whatever you say is right for us to do, we will do it. Now that's an awesome responsibility for Joshua. When someone makes a statement like that, it is a huge responsibility. Something in your hand, like people, is a huge responsibility. And you know, I think about our employees. I think about my wife, because she is part of my world that I'm responsible for. She's in my hand. Our employees are in our hands. If we say we're not going to work Friday, they won't work. And when I think about that, how great care we should use with the people that are in our hands. Our family, that's where we start. We should use great care with the people in our hands. And I just made a few statements here. I said, in the scriptures, there are some instructions given for people that are in our hands, and it uses the relationship of masters and servants. And it says, masters are not permitted to threaten their servants for selfish gain. That's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9. We are not allowed to take our employees and to threaten them to do certain things because we can gain with that. We must also realize that when we have someone in our hands, we must realize that we ourselves are in the hands of someone else. That is a very important. Sometimes employers think that, you know what, I'm the CEO. I'm the boss. Who is here to threaten me or to tell me what I can or cannot do? But you know, the Bible comes back and says that if we want to effectively lead the people that are in our hand, we must realize that we ourselves are in someone else's hand. In someone else's hand. And I'll talk about that in just a little bit. The Bible says we are not permitted to favor one person over another. We are not permitted to do that. We are not permitted to favor one person over another. We should not have respect to persons. And the other thing it says that we must pay our employees just wages for the work that they're doing. We cannot ask our employees to do a very difficult task and a very hard-working task with the minimum wage. The Bible says, that's in Colossians chapter 4, that we have to give just pay to our servants. And those are just a few of the instructions. And then it goes on into leadership, church leadership. And there's instructions. Go in and look at that. There's instructions there that say things that a church leader, we cannot be lords over our people. Those are all Bible instructions that we must remember that people are in our hands. And it's important that we justly use those people in our hands, knowing that we ourselves are also in someone else's hand. Something else that's in our hand today is money. And in Matthew 25 is the parable of the talents, where the master came and gave 5 talents to one of his servants, 2 talents to one of his servants, and 1 talent to one of his servants. And it's interesting to note what those 3 men did with what the master placed into their hand. The master placed 5 talents into one of the servant's hand. That servant went out and over the course of time doubled the amount that he had. The second one did the same. He had 2 talents. Over a course of time, he went and doubled the amount that he had. The third one that received 1 talent, he was very cautious about this 1 talent, so he went and dug a hole and put it in there, and he said, "You know what? I'm afraid I'm going to lose it. And because I'm afraid I'm going to lose it, I'm going to dig a hole and I'm going to put it in there. I have it all wrapped nice. And then when the master comes back, I'll make sure that that talent is there for him and I will return it to him." But you know, we know the story. That servant was reprimanded. And eventually he was punished because he did not make increase with the talent that his master had given him. Now, when we think of money in our hands, what is really a godly attitude to have toward money in our hands? What really is a godly attitude? Well, there's a few things that I have just written down here. We know that the scriptures would warn us about being wasteful or extravagant. Like, if I would start saving money because I want to buy a $400,000 yacht. You know what a yacht, what's a yacht, boys? Do any of you know what a yacht is? Any of you boys know what a yacht is? A yacht is a luxury boat. It's a ship. And these very rich people, they buy these boats and they take these boats and just put very expensive material in those boats, and they have all kinds of luxuries, just everything that, you know, boys, what is a luxury? Do you know what a luxury is? Anyone, what's a luxury? Up and beyond necessity. That's a good answer. And so these people take their money and they put just very expensive things in there. Maybe instead of just having a TV screen to watch, They will go and buy the biggest and the most expensive TV screen that they can find to put in their yacht. But you know what? The Bible comes back and says, you know, that's not something we have the privilege of doing. We don't have the privilege of spending our money on ourselves just for luxury and for whatever. And something else that is very important that we do with the money in our hand is that we're generous. That means that there are people, the Bible says that we have the poor with us. There will always be poor people in our environment. There will always be poor people in our environment. And what do we do with those poor people? We say, take a Dave Ramsey course, then you won't be poor. Is that what we say? Or do we reach out and say, how can I help you? And it's not just about giving money, it's about helping them. It's about helping them get over the hurdle. It's about whatever it may be. They find right now there are people that are really struggling because they didn't save for a time like this. Their lifestyle, they didn't think ahead. They just bought what they wanted and needed. And when something like this coronavirus epidemic comes through, all of a sudden, there's lots of people that don't have money. So what's our attitude in being generous? What's our attitude in being generous? And I think when I say this, wisdom is very much something that we need to possess here in this environment when we're talking about being generous. We are also not permitted to use questionable means to increase our finances. God has given us finances in our hands, and when we take finances and use questionable means, take for instance, you can go on the stock market and you can say, okay, I'm going to invest money in the stock market, but I want my money to be very safe. And so you may get a 5% return on your money at the end of the year because it's in something that is very safe. And you may say, that's sure not enough. And you say, I want to move to a moderate level. And you say, well, it's still not enough. I'm willing to take some risks. I'm willing to put my money out, and whatever is the highest return, that's what I want. And you know what? There's some places that you can go and put your money with a very high return that are very evil. That is exactly what we cannot do as believers. We cannot take our finances and put them to questionable places just simply to increase the amount of finances that we have. And we also are not permitted to increase our finances at the expense of someone else. Now, I know that there are people that always chew. I say always chew somebody down. Or is it chew? We chew people down, I guess. Yeah, we actually chew them down. Like people can't buy something if they go and see a bicycle and the bicycle's for sale for $50 and it's a good buy at $50. There are people that will say, will you take $35? That's just natural for some people. I think we need to be very careful because God has blessed us. And then when we try with selfish thoughts to see if we can't buy that bicycle for $15 less, that may dishonor God. That may dishonor God. And I just want us to think about using our finances for the honor and glory of God. The scriptures instruct us that we should lay up treasures in heaven. Now, how do we do that? How do we lay up treasures in heaven? Well, one of the ways of laying up treasures in heaven is maybe in your giving, we should have something like World Missionary Press that we give. Maybe it's just a small amount, but World Missionary Press is an organization that does nothing but print God's Word. They just print little Bibles, just these little paper ones that people can slip in their pocket and go through customs and pass them out when they're in countries that are not, where Bibles are not permitted. They have these little printed texts. Maybe is that laying up treasures in heaven where there are people that may have never had the written text in their hand, that we support something like that? That would just be an example. And there are many other places like that. There are many other places like, If there's a family from here that would go on to a mission field, then that's probably a family that we should support. It's those type of things that honors God with what we have in our hand. So God has blessed us with finances, and God wants us to use our hands, what's in our hands, for his honor and glory. It's interesting that the hands are used as well. Did you notice, if you go through the scriptures and read the miracles that Jesus did, many of those miracles involved Jesus' hands. They would walk up, Jesus would touch his eyes, touched him, and boom, immediately he was healed. So what was about the hand of Jesus touching somebody? And we say, well, Jesus was divine. Well, that's true. Jesus was divine. But I want us to think about some of our practices today. There have been practices that when we have ordinations, we take our hands and we lay it on the person that is ordained, and we pronounce the blessing of God upon those individuals. There are times that we've had people that have come right up here to the front that have had illnesses. And then we had people gathered around and laid hands on them, and we prayed a prayer to God for healing and that God would be glorified, and God came and healed that person. I'm not saying that it wouldn't have happened if we would not have laid hands, but there's something about laying hands on someone where the blessings of God come down. And I'm thinking especially of Moses and Joshua. If you go into the scriptures and read the account there, Moses laid his hands on Joshua, and the blessing of God upon Moses, that blessing came over on Joshua. The blessing that came down on the Apostle Paul, when Paul laid his hands on Timothy, that blessing came down on Paul was like transferred over to Timothy. And I think there's great value in us as families doing that. As dads, there are times that we can lay our hands on our son. When Zach goes to service, when Zach went to Calvary Bible School, just simply laying hands on him and pronouncing a blessing is a very positive thing to do. And there's something about, I don't understand it all. I went and did some research and studied this thing. I don't understand why laying on of hands is something that is a practice that we do, but it seems to indicate exactly what I said, that when God blesses us and we lay hands, we're giving approval to that person. And see, then the scriptures come back and say, lay hands suddenly on no man. In other words, if you take and lay hands on an unbeliever, one of these tares that Mark was talking about this morning, that looks like he's real, the Bible says we need to be careful. If there's questions, we should not lay our hands on them and bless them and do that quickly and in a hurry. The scriptures would say, search this thing out before you lay hands on them. Now, I want to just think of two circumstances that are recorded in the scriptures. One of them is Job. And this is what it says. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thy hand. Now, what did I just get finished saying? I just got finished saying that when we say something's in our hand, that means that we have control of it. That means we have authority over it. And so God says, okay, Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. There was a restriction that God put on Satan. And we notice what happened is as soon as Job was in Satan's hands, what happened? All of a sudden, the boils just came out all over his body. And he was in misery. I'm not sure how long that Job had those boils, but those were very difficult, painful, oozing things on his body. Now, listen to them. Listen to this verse. John 10, verse 28, it says, and I, Jesus speaking, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, isn't that interesting? Notice the difference between people that are in the Lord's hand and people that are in Satan's hand. As soon as people are in Satan's hand, torment comes. Satan is an evil taskmaster. When we are in the hand of the Lord, because we're born again, and every one that of us that are born again are in the hand of the Lord, and the scriptures would say, no man can come and remove you from the hand of the Lord. The only way that can ever happen is if you make that choice to remove yourself from the hand of the Lord. But no man can ever come and pluck us out. Isn't that a blessing? Stop and think about what it really means to be in the hand of the Lord, and no person will ever be able to remove us from that hand. That means when I think about being in the hand of the Lord, I think, wow, that sure sounds like safety to me. That sure sounds like security to me, because God is almighty. God can speak and things happen. God is sovereign. And when we're in the hand of a sovereign God, guess what happens? We are safe. We are safe. Isn't that? When I was studying for this, I just had to thank the Lord over and over that all of us as believers are in the Lord's hands. And no one can come and pluck us out. One of the last things that I want to just briefly talk about is God has entrusted into our hands the gospel. God has entrusted into our hands the gospel. There's instructions. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Teach all nations. Take the gospel everywhere you go. Live the gospel every place you find yourself. Live the gospel. And especially as I think of the pandemic that we have in our nation, do people visibly see that we are people of the gospel? That the gospel has given to us. It's in our hands. We have read the gospel. We understand the gospel. That is the transforming work of God in our hearts. It's the transforming work of God in our hearts. So when we go out into the public, do the people at all see that we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of Christ? That's a work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, when we become born again. So when we go, do we look at people as, this is so foolish that you're wearing these masks? You know what? People can feel that. People can see that. But when you say, you know what? I'm not going to look at you as a fool. I'm going to smile at you. I'm going to prove to you that I have the gospel, and that I'm inside of me is full of joy. Yeah, there are circumstances that we have to face, the reality of life. But you know, when the gospel, it's the gospel that has totally changed our whole life, how we look at life. It's the gospel that we take everywhere, because it's only through the gospel that people can be saved. We must share the gospel. In fact, Paul says, woe is me if I share not the gospel, if I preach not the gospel. Wow, when I look at that, I really had to think, we have a responsibility, a great responsibility, with the gospel that's in our hands. We have Bibles, and you've heard me say this before, but when I was teaching school, I asked my students to go home and count every Bible in their home. Every Bible in their home. Every New Testament, that would be including New Testaments. Anything that you can find that has the printed text of the scriptures. How many of those do you have in your home? And these children went home. They started scouring, going through their whole house. You know, everyone has a regular Bible they use. I have three Bibles that are right by my study desk. You know, I have my good one that I bring to church, and my one that I've used for years, and then I have a three-leaf or a five, it's a like a loose binder Bible that I have. I like that. I have three Bibles. We have some of Elsie's parents' Bibles. We have some of my parents' Bibles. We have Bibles all over our house. Guess how many Bibles some of these students had in their house? 32. Some of these students came and said, there are 32 Bibles in our house. That means we are very responsible with the gospel. And look how many people would like to have just one book, just the Gospel of John. They don't have anything. The gospel is in our hands. It's entrusted to us by God. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to take this gospel and share it? Or are we going to just simply be selfish and say, thank you, God, that I learned that I was a sinner and I learned about the new birth in the God by reading your gospels? Is that how we're going to? I would just want to encourage us, in the environment we are presently, let's allow the people to see that we are deeply appreciative of the gospel that's in our hands. One other thing, one other verse that in closing that I want to read. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 says, and whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You know, God does not want any one of us to be mediocre in our Christian life. God, the language of the scriptures, it doesn't use mediocre, but it says lukewarm. People that are neither hot nor cold. God does not want that. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. In other words, put your whole heart into it. Be very generous with what God has given to us in our finances. Our time, I didn't even talk about that, but we have time on our hands. We'll say, well, I'm waiting for my ride, and so I have some time on my hand. That's what we say. We use that phrase. That means that right now I have time that I can do something with, that I have the choice of doing something with. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So it's saying, if you want to do something, do it now, because once you're in the grave, there is no more opportunity to do anything. You can't express wisdom. You can't have knowledge. You can't do any work. You can't build anything because you're in the grave. So while you have the opportunity, do it with thy might. Do it with thy might. Just in closing, Friday evening, Elsie and I went to Sturgis. We wanted to return something that we had purchased. And of course, you can't return anything right now. We had forgotten that. They're saying, oh, you touched it, and we have no idea if you have coronavirus or not, so we don't take anything back. And so we get out from our house. We go to Sturgis. We go east 1 mile. We go north 1 mile. Then we go east out to State Road 9. And when we got out to State Road 9, I looked at Elsie and I said, look at that flower over here. And right now, on the side of the roads, it's nice and green. The quack grass is coming up, and it just looks nice and green. And in that total green grassy, and it's actually weeds, is this tulip. One tulip. One tulip. It looked so odd, and it was red. That's why it caught my attention. It was one tulip out there on the side of the road. I have no idea how that thing got there. But one tulip. I want to ask you a question. Every one of us find ourselves in an environment where we sometimes are the only one. At that moment, what we have in our hands is going to show up. There's times that we are misunderstood. There's times that we can give. There's times that we need to receive. There's times all kinds of things that come up in our life. And it was just outstanding to me. And I was just starting to ask myself, so is that me? In the environment of all those weeds, am I that tulip that is just a nice, bright, red tulip? Beautiful plant out there. And I would just like for us to think about what has God given to us in our hand that we can prove to the world, to our families, everyone that we meet, that God has entrusted something to us, and we are very, very conscious of that item, of that responsibility, of that whatever it is. God has given us something in our hands, and God expects us to be fruitful for Him. May God receive the honor and the glory. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, our Father. We bless you today for your presence. We bless you today for your word. And Father, as we are here in this service, we think of what you've entrusted to us, what you've given to us in our hands, things that we're responsible for. It may be people, it may be things, whatever it may be, we want to be very faithful, like these servants that received talents. They went and increased for the benefit of the master. And that's what we want to do for you, is we want to bring increase into your kingdom for your glory and for your honor. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. So many things to bless you. Just pray a blessing upon all the families from the Topeka Christian Assembly, all the families that are watching this today, all the individuals. Lord, may we be very faithful with what you've entrusted to us for your glory and for your honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone. May God be blessed. Any of you have some thoughts you'd like to share?
Thank you.